Hello and welcome to episode 14 of When the Flames Go Up, the ATFC podcast with me, Will Brown. We've got three of us on the panel tonight, myself, Joe and Julian. We're going to be discussing the Oxford City result on Saturday, the midweek results and what they mean for the Shots playoff credentials, and look ahead to the doubleheader at home of Oldham Athletic and Ipswich United. The return of Danny Searle, of course. I've just come off the call where we've recorded the next in our series of Aldershot all-time 11s, which is our forgotten players 11. We've had great fun listing players that we'd all but forgotten about in a kind of poker style you raise. I don't want to give any spoilers away, but somebody mentioned, you know, an Anthony Pulis. That was raised by Josh Wakefield. Listen, just teasing you here. Hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we'll release it as a bonus pod. So look out for that on your feeds and subscribe wherever you can to get notifications, because it might not drop on a Thursday like this one does. But yeah, enjoy the episode. And if you've got any questions, email atfcpodcast@gmail.com and I'll pick them up and I'll read them out in the next episode. Right, let's get into it. When Giles Phillips galloped through on goal in the 93rd minute on Saturday, you'd be forgiven for thinking this was classic Aldershot. Dominate the game, look comfortable for large spells, barely concede a chance, only to succumb to a late goal from a centre-back that had just limped back on, and found himself bearing down on goal. Fortunately, that tale as old as time was changed on Saturday. He scuffed his shot into Geordie's grateful grasp, and the 3 points were ours, 2-1 away at Oxford City. We'll get into the discussion on the performance in a minute. Just to kind of run you through the goals and where they came from. So Laurent Tolage opened the scoring. Some brilliant play from Stokes to O'Keefe. A little turn, fell on the floor, slid it through to James Daly, who slid it across to Laurent Tolage to tap home for his 22nd goal of the season. Oxford City barely ventured into Aldershot's territory. They did so in the 25th minute. And then 2 minutes later, after some terrible clearances, Lewis Coyle ran in and blasted one into the roof of the net to equalise. And then on the 38th minute, some great work from Laurent Tolage, played Josh Stokes through, who basically waited for the goalkeeper to sit down and then passed it straight past him into the net. And that's how it stayed, 2-1. So I'm going to come to you first, Julian. What was, in general, a comfortable afternoon? We could have made it a lot easier, do you think?
Hi, Will. I really do think we could have made it a lot easier. And if you look at Tommy's post-match interview, I think he would probably agree with me and you. It was workmanlike performance. And I just felt that whilst we were comfortable, we weren't comfortable, if that makes any sense. Yeah, and as you pre-alluded to at the start, you know, as Giles Phillips was galloping through in the last minute, heart in mouth time, thinking, you know, we so deserve to win this, and yet we might not have won it. So, we could have made life a lot easier for ourselves. Having said that, the goals I thought were absolute class, both of them. Just the first Josh Stokes pass to find O'Keefe in space was something I think only he would have seen. And the accuracy of that. And then for O'Keefe to finish it through to Daly and Tolage was excellent, I thought. And similarly, the wavelength that Stokes and Tolage are on for the second goal was beautiful goal. So definitely deserved to win. And typical Aldershot Town, you know, we have to put the supporters through the ringer to get our 3 points, and that's certainly what happened on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. They don't make it easy. That last half an hour, even at 2-1 against bottom of the league, should be a nice kind of, you know, especially when we had probably about 70% of possession in the second half, and it still felt there's a moment here that it all could turn.
I kept thinking, Will, of your stat last week about the last time Josh Stokes scored and we won. And I just kept thinking of that and thinking, come on, we've got to change that this afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was running through our heads on on Saturday. So that is the first time since the 11th of November against Kidderminster that Josh Stokes has scored an old shot of one. So that's great to tick that off going into the last 10 games of the season. And I'll come to you, Joe. Your thoughts on the win on Saturday?
Yeah, unfortunately, I planned my weekend quite badly. Well, not really my fault, but I was at a 90th birthday party. So whether that's more interesting than the game, I'll leave that up to the people that were there. But judging by the reviews, it wasn't exactly one that's going to live long in the memory. But so I had to uncomfortably sort of follow it along on my flash scores, and then I was just a little bit worried. It was Kidderminster all over again, really. Sort of 1-0 up against teaming, and I know it was 2-0 up against Kidderminster, but similarly, we were pegged back, and by the sounds of it, made quite hard work of it in the end. But I wasn't there, but it sounded like Oxford didn't pose much of a threat. But any time you're 2-1 up with trying to see the game out, it doesn't, it doesn't matter who you're playing because it's just one goal in it. So that first goal, though, I've looked back at the highlights. That was wasn't really a National League goal, was it? That was it looked a lot higher quality, and a little turn from O'Keefe, and as you say, the vision from Stokes to see the pass before that, it was really, really just nice football. The Oxford equaliser, I know we probably were a little lapsed defensively when looking at it back, but that was a really, really good finish, but out of nowhere, really. So you can't really blame us for that when you have a worldie scored against you. But yeah, we saw it out. But yeah, it was interesting to see Tommy's post-match. He was very honest. And you could sort of see that if the impression you got that if we play like that against other teams, as Tommy said, I think he said we'll have our pants pulled down or something. But yeah, you play like that against teams in the top seven who can attack well. If you take your foot off the gas, we can't afford to do that again. And as I'm sure we'll discuss later, we've got some huge games coming up, so we really need to be on it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, Tommy said kind of some of the players were going off-piste. So it kind of seemed to suggest they could have killed the game, but maybe it got a little complacent after halftime. I think they were so comfortable, but the scoreline, obviously, as we know, is not comfortable. And need we remind them about the goal difference? Obviously, we want to forget about it, but we can't too much. Yeah, I just wanted to mention, yeah, Oxford City, a lovely little ground. First time I've been there. Yeah, the only slight detraction from it was that I was bursting for a wee on the way there. So we ordered a cab from Oxford Centre. Another a cab pulls up and says, "Are you Brandon?" I said, "I'm not Brandon, I'm Will. I'm going to Oxford City Stadium." And he says, "Jump in, it's fine. Brandon's going there as well, so someone else will pick him up." I didn't think anything of it, and then 5 minutes later, I looked down at my maps, and he's halfway to the Kassam Stadium. So I know I'm going to annoy this guy because I'm ruining his day. But I tell him we need to go to Oxford City, and he has to turn around, and all the while I'm just like cross-legged in the back seat, trying not to wee myself. Got in at about a quarter to, and then started queuing up for the food and drink bar, food and drink, food slash bar. We got halfway through that queue, about 5 minutes to kick off, and realised it was just food, and we wanted a pint, so we just got a packet of crisps and a packet of crisps, punnet of chips, and then went away. But anyway, my review of Oxford City was great, loved it. We got 3 points, so I'm buzzing. Yeah, I was going to mention some standout performers, but yeah, Josh Stokes again looked a class above. I think Oxford City went terribly impressive. Their striker Josh Parker was manhandled pretty well by Kobe Rowe, who came back in. He looked very good and almost scored from his own half, which was a nice little bonus. We've got quite a few efforts on goal so far this season from inside our own half. Josh Stokes seems to be edging towards one. So I guess we can probably park that game because the context for it meant that we were 4 points inside the playoffs by 4 points until we get to the midweek results, which we can run through and discuss kind of those and our league position after last night's games as we record. So, Altrincham 2, Dorking Wanderers 1. They stopped their five-game loss streak with a win. They went down to 10 men in the first half, so good for them to hold on. Not great for us. Southend 1, Wildstone 1, York City 1, Fylde 3. Another defeat for York. Gateshead 2, Solihull Moors 3. Playoff battle there. And Oldham 0, Bromley 0. I mean, you could have called that as a 0-0. Two teams that are drawing quite a lot. Barnet 2, Rochdale 2. And last but not least, Woking 2, Kidderminster 1. Woking two Tuesdays in a row where they've scored in the kind of last minute. I think they scored in the 89th last night to win in that one. So they beat Gateshead last week at home and Kidderminster this week. So they're finally out of the relegation zone. We, however, stayed seventh. We did have a four-point gap. We've now got a two-point gap to the aforementioned Altrincham. So, yeah, I need to stop talking at some point. I'm going to come to you, Julian. What are your thoughts on the kind of midweek results and where we stand in the league?
Yeah, overall, quite happy with the results. I was looking probably for Gateshead Solihull Moors, different result there. I've always thought that it's Solihull Moors that are there for the taking, but actually they just continue to get results. So, you know, they're doing really nicely at the moment. I thought losing Kelly in the transfer window would have affected them, but yeah, they've replaced him with Tavon Campbell, who you obviously know very well from last season, and he's started scoring goals for them. So, yeah, they're going to be right up there. And of course, they have still got to come to the EBB in about 3 weeks' time. So that's going to be a really important one. Oldham, yeah, again, I think that was a good result for us. They are better away from home though than they are at home. So yeah, their supporters are already looking forward to coming down to see us on Saturday. They're calling it a crunch match for them, and they're going to bring quite a few with them by the looks of it. So really looking forward to that one. And I think Oldham are away again the Tuesday after. We're at home to Ebbsfleet. So they've got two tricky away games. We've got two home games. Rose-tinted glasses. You know, if we can win both games and they lose both, then suddenly we've got a five-point gap on them with a game in hand. But obviously, as we know, it can look so different within two games. So really looking forward to Saturday's game. And I think overall, the results midweek were pretty good for us.
Yeah, pretty favourable for our position. And before I come to Joe, I'm just going to remind him that we're on minus five goal difference. I'll see what you can do with that. How would you think the midweek results went?
Don't make me talk about goal difference again. Yeah, just looking at those results, Altrincham winning again, having lost about four on the bounce. They're a way too good a side to drop out of the playoff race. I think we sort of almost forgot about them a little bit the last couple of weeks because they were just losing. Yeah, but they've got a really, really good side, and we really need to watch our backs with them. The game against Oldham, as Julian says, on Saturday is going to be massive now, because if you look at the run-in, there's no easy games, but those games against the teams around you, every time you take points off them, we're gaining so much ground on those teams around us. So yeah, the relegation battle as well is as interesting as the playoff race is from a shots supporting perspective. From a football fan perspective, looking at the relegation battle, it is absolutely brilliant, unless you're a fan of one of those clubs. Yeah, I think any team from sort of 12th, well, even 11th, I say that, even as high up as 10th, could probably still go down. Even Hartlepool are only 6 points clear. They could easily lose, you know. Any one of those teams could go down. I'm really surprised by York still. The fact that with their budget and their ownership, how they've managed to create a team that are third from bottom, where their budget's probably in the top. I don't know the facts, but I'd imagine would be top seven budget. So something's gone drastically wrong there. I think who they've employed as manager and the timings of those employments have been pretty catastrophic, to be honest. Speaking to my friend who's a York fan this week, he said that the new managers, Hinchelwood, has tried to impose the tactic straight away of a really attacking style with a team that have been parking the bus for the last 6 months. It's not working, and he's got very limited time to make it work. So it'd be interesting to see how they get on. Kidderminster, I thought they were climbing out again when they were leading against Woking, and then that finished 2-1 to Woking. So it's just, it really changes by the minute when you're following it. It's following the live league tables is quite fun, actually. But yeah, jumping back to the playoffs, what I keep looking at the end of every set of results is if that was the table on the final day, do I fancy that potential fixture as a playoff eliminator? And I'm looking at sort of today's live table with us in seventh. We'd be going away, if I've understood the playoff structure correctly, we'd be going away to Solihull. And that, for me, is a lot more appealing. I don't just mean geographically. It's a lot more appealing than Gateshead and Oldham away. I think we've had a few positive results away at Solihull the last few seasons, whereas our results up at Gateshead and obviously this season up at Oldham have not been very positive. So, yeah, basically a fascinating playoff race and an even more interesting relegation battle. So yeah, let's see where we are this time next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we could be looking at kind of, well, it's a big week regardless of any time we play two games in a week in this close playoff battle is going to be interesting. And it'll be interesting because we and Gateshead have got a game in hand on Solihull and Oldham. So, I mean, it could look substantially different anyway, depending on weekend's results.
I think Solihull and Gateshead are not playing on Saturday. They must be in the trophy. So again, if we can beat Oldham, then I think, you know, that puts us level on points with Solihull, if I'm
one,
right.
1 point behind, that puts.
One point behind, right.
And 12 goals. But so I guess, yeah, we've kind of flirted around the double header coming up, two home games in a row, Oldham and Ebbsfleet. Easy to think, I think, the same as the where we had Altrincham, then Fylde, then Altrincham, where it's easy to think just the Altrincham game or the Barnet game was the bigger one. But they're both, you know, 3 points on offer. But it's probably best to start at Oldham. As you mentioned before, Julian, expecting quite a few Oldham down. So I think there'll be a bigger attendance for this one than we've had in that free home game block that we had. So yeah, I'll come to you. What you're kind of thinking about the lineup, the attendance, maybe a score prediction as well for that game on Saturday.
Tasty attendance. I think the Aldershot supporters will come out for sure. So I can quite easily see, you know, possibly 3,500, that sort of figure. So that's would be a really good atmosphere. Oldham, they are better away from home. So, you know, my heart is saying that I think we can beat them. My head is probably saying it's going to be another draw. But we will wait and see on that one. But yeah, really looking forward to that one. And then with regard to the Ebbsfleet game, I think it's going to be a tough one. Danny Searle coming back, he's going to be really, really pumped up for that game. Desperate to get one over on us. So I think that's going to be tough as well. But I'm hoping we should win that. So 4 points out of six or 6 points out of six would be fantastic.
That's the spirit. Yeah, so as you mentioned, yeah, Danny Searle is Ebbsfleet manager. Anwar Udin as well is the assistant. And they've got a certain Miles Kenlock, who is apparently in some sort of good form, which, you know, I'm not knocking the guy, but I can't believe it, because last season he was absolute dross. So, you know, fair play to him, but as long as he can have an off day on Tuesday, that's great. Come to you, Joe. What are you thinking ahead of these two home games in a row?
Well, the last important game that Mickey Millen had at Aldershot was, I think, the Tranmere playoff game, wasn't it? So he knows how to get a result at the Rec. Oldham have got a ridiculously massive budget. I'm surprised that they took so long to get up to speed with the league this year, with some of the players they've got. When you've got James Norwood playing up front for you in the National League, there's something really, you know, ridiculous about the wage structure there, isn't there? Because he's comfortable scoring goals in League One. I'm amazed he actually dropped back down to the National League, but who can blame him? It's good fun. But yeah, I'm actually more apprehensive about the Ebbsfleet game, to be honest with you. I'm amazed really that they struggled so much of this season. I thought when we played away, I think it was second or third game of the season this year, I actually thought they were really, really quite good. And I'm surprised that sort of after that they didn't really kick on. And it's taken, I think, whatever we think of Danny Searle, he gets his teams quite organised, and he's actually probably got a better squad there to work with than what he had with the squad that he assembled with us, and probably a bigger budget as well. So yeah, it's really interesting to see how he does with them. And I really, really hope we don't lose that game, because I can just picture him sort of giving it the big one towards the East Bank, and yeah, leaving a real sour taste in the mouth. So if we're going to win one and draw one of those games, I hope we draw the Oldham one and win the Ebbsfleet one.
Yeah, yeah. As you say, his kind of turnaround is still looking good. I mean, the last five games, they've drawn one and won four. So yeah, they're on. I mean, but still, they are only 3 points off the relegation zone. So as you say, that half the league could be in the battle for it. So yeah, I'm definitely more apprehensive. I'm with you, Joe, with the Ebbsfleet game, because I know that we'll turn up for the Oldham game. I know it'll be close. I know we'll be in the fight for that entire game. Ebbsfleet could be one of those just freak games where we, you know, all the stars seem to align for Searle and Kenlock. Yeah, I guess the last kind of point I was going to just say, I know I mentioned earlier, but we've got 10 games to go in the season, which is pretty crazy. It's quite an arbitrary question, but Julian, how many more wins do you think we need to stay in the playoffs out of those 10?
Well, that's a tough one. So we're on 57 at the moment. So we're going to need 6 wins, I think. Yeah, I can see your faces, guys. You look surprised.
Six big wins as well. That's
6 wins, I think, because the other teams, I can't see them dropping that many points. I know there's quite a few games where we've got to play each other. And I think Oldham have still got Chesterfield to play. So, you know, there are going to be some points dropped. But bearing in mind, there's probably still 8, possibly 9 teams in with the shout. I think it's going to need 6 wins out of 10.
Interesting. And Joe, do you have any rise or fall on 6?
I don't think I could raise on 6. I'm going to go with I think it depends on if the games we don't win, whether we draw them or whether we lose them massively.
We're not drawing them, surely.
You never know. We might get really
six draws all season.
But yeah, I think because we don't really draw, I think we might need 5 wins. But it depends if those wins come against the teams around us or not. If we win against the teams around us, the Oldham game, the Gateshead game, if we win those, that'll affect things massively. But yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of teams really going for it for the last 10 games, beating each other. But there are no easy games in the last 10 now, because if you're playing any of those teams in the bottom 12, they aren't dead rubbers for a lot of those teams, which they, the last few seasons, have been. The bottom few teams have been cast adrift, whereas anyone from, as I said earlier, 13th, 14th down, they're not dead rubber fixtures yet. They're big games for them, so there's no gimmies. So it'd be really interesting to see who beats who. I mean, you just look at honourable mention for Dorking beating Chesterfield away at the weekend. That was absolutely balmy. Because, yeah, no one's really put many goals past Chesterfield. And then for that team to be Dorking to do that away is just bonkers.
Fair play. I know the viral clip of Fuller taking out that Chesterfield player and getting the ball. So, you know, look out for that if you haven't seen it. It's a great challenge. Yeah, and you mentioned kind of there's no easy games. I was looking at the kind of the Easter fixtures that we've got. If we were in a relegation battle, this season would have been insane. So we've got Maidenhead on the Good Friday and then Dorking on the Monday. But as you say, they're going to be up for it, because they're going to need the points. So that's where we're going to have to show our mettle and our kind of ability to beat the teams in the bottom half, which hasn't been our strength, despite doing the double over Oxford City, which is...
One comment on social media saying that we've got an easier run in than some of the others, but I think we've just alluded to it. I can't see any sort of running being easy at the moment. You know, I was looking at some of the results at the weekend, or you look ahead and you think, yeah, that's going to be a home win, that's going to be a away win. You just can't do that anymore. You just have no idea. So I think we're just going to literally do as the pros do. We're going to have to take each game as it comes, and see what happens, really.
Love that. Love that. Two cliches in a row. yeah,
I've got some more if you want them.
Yeah, well, we can lace the entire episode with some more. But yeah, it's just hard to predict, isn't it? Because we've seen, even in the last few weeks, Ebbsfleet obviously go on their mad run for like four wins in a row. We've seen Altrincham lose five in a row. Halifax, out of nowhere, won four in a row. I mean, it's an impossible to predict league. And that's why the league table looks so good with 10 games to go for most people. So looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. Grand. Well, we'll go to any other business, which is, I guess, a bit of personnel changes or, you know, some squad movements. Start with the kind of newest news, which is Ollie Harfield getting selected for England C. So he'll head off on Sunday, 17th of March, to Llanelli Town for their match on the 19th of March against Wales something. I can't remember. Playing a Welsh team. And then we've got Harry Gandor returning from his loan at Farnborough. And he came on at the weekend against Oxford City. Had a kind of half chance. Couldn't really make a judgment on him. And Farnborough fans seemed very annoyed on X and Twitter. So he's obviously contributed quite a lot since his move there. Maxwell Mullins. Defender / second striker if we need him to throw him on up top. He signed a contract extension to the end of next season, 2024-25. And finally, we signed a central midfielder, 20-year-old Dylan Kadji from Bristol City, 6'4" and loves to tackle. So we've got him until the end of the season, which looks a good move. Julian, how do you see those personnel changes and the strength of the squad in general moving into these last stages of the season?
Yeah, I think there's some smart moves from Tommy there. Bringing back Haddy is, I think, as a direct consequence of Jack Barham's injury. So it's a pretty much a like for like. I guess he could have thought about bringing back Ollie Bray perhaps, but I'm not sure of the terms and conditions on the loan there. But yeah, I think that's just a making sure that we've got cover in the front lines there. Max Mullins, I think, that makes sense. Probably a continuation of his existing contract. I wouldn't have thought it would be too much of an outlay for the shots there. Young player who's only going to get better. So let's give him another sort of 18 months and see how he does. Really interested in this central midfielder from Bristol City. I guess you've seen the sort of clips that have been put together, and he looks really good. I know all players look fantastic in their clips they put together. Even I'd look great in the clips he put together. But I think there's something about him which is something that we really needed. We need somebody who's going to be driving forward, can get a tackle in, and can make a pass or two as well. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to watching him play. And that will just ease the pressure a little bit on O'Keefe and Tetek, because as we've already seen, they're not going to play in every minute of every game. So I think with Tommy's son out as well, I think that's a really good move to get him in. Just a quick shout out for Ollie in the England C team. I think that's well deserved. It's going to be against the Wales C team. And it's 20 minutes from me, so I'll be popping down there to see Ollie. It's pronounced Llanelli, if you want the actual Welsh version. But yeah, 20 minutes away, so I'll pop down there and see how he's doing, and really looking forward to that one, actually.
Joachim Fowler. That's all I've got.
Well done.
I didn't want to go for it for the Llanelli down. I don't know why. I don't know why I bailed out of it. So yeah, we'll see for that one. That'd be good. We can get your on the pitch review of the other players that are in it. I think Paul McCallum and who's the other X shot? There's another X shot in that squad.
I'll do a pitch side report for you.
That'd be lovely. That'd be lovely. Because there's nothing else going on that week, I don't think. I think there's one game. I think Halifax against Chesterfield is on the Wednesday. So there's literally nothing going on. Joe, I'll come to you. How are you feeling about the squad strength and those moves that we've made?
Yeah, well, I think Julian's. So I agree with most of pretty much everything Julian said there. I think with Haddy, I'm not sure how you say his name. He wouldn't have come back if it wasn't for Barham's injury. I think Maxwell. Mullins, it's quite interesting that he's had a contract renewal. He must clearly be in Tommy's plans for next year because he's a player who's played very, very few minutes outside of starting a few games out of position at the start of the season. So he's clearly very happy to sign, having not played many minutes this season. So I must be happy here, which is a good sign that players are signing on that premise. Harfield, I think, has been an unsung hero this season. So I think he's deserved recognition for one of the best sort of young players in the league. Sort of reinvented himself, far less attacking this year than he has been in the previous years, and has really worked on his defensive abilities and has made some brilliant last ditch tackles in quite a few games this season. So I think he's won us a few points in the last few minutes, really, if you look at it like that. Julia mentioned about whether we could have recalled Ollie Bray, but I was just looking at the really crazy National League South. Truro have to play a home fixture in Gloucester, which is 195 miles away, 3.5 hours, 7-hour round trip. So, and they've got 15 games to fit in between now and the end of the season, as have Taunton, who they're ground sharing with. I just thought that was worth mentioning because I find it, hilarious. But obviously not hilarious because there's been some like dreadful decision making there with regards to pitch sharing and how that's been allowed to happen. But very interesting what's going on there. Being a home fan at Truro is a lifestyle choice.
Yeah, it's quite something. I did see a picture of the pitch as well. That was last night, which I don't think it's rained recently. It's just still kind of still waterlogged from previous weeks. So I don't know what's gone on there. And the fact that that's the best pitch in, you know, around for them to use. I mean, I have to think about 4G. Grand. What was I going to say? Maxwell Mullins. I was just going to mention, I think he's fit in really well in this group when he's come on in those short little bursts. I think being told ball playing centre back 1 minute and try and fit in, and then go and stick yourself up front another minutes. I think he's shown confidence, and quite excited to see if he's ready for the big bad world of League Two next season. Grant, we'll end it there. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Julian. Thanks for listening. Bye.